William Jefferson was a congressman from the state of Louisiana, and in 2002, he used the resources of an organization that were designated to encourage people to vote to ensure that his daughter would win an election to the Louisiana State House of Representatives. And then in 1998 and in 2002 and in 2006, Jefferson used that same organization and its monies to make sure that his sister would win election as a city official for New Orleans. A few days after Hurricane Katrina hit, Jefferson used a National Guard detachment to go to his home and to recover possessions from his house. And when the truck that went to his house got stuck in the mud, he deployed a National Guard helicopter to go and help them. All this happened while rescue operations were still going on in other parts of the state. In March 2005, a company named iGate sent William Jefferson $400,000 to ensure that he would help its business by persuading the U.S. Army to buy intelligence and technology from iGate. Then the final straw came in 2005 when the FBI raided Jefferson's home and they found $90,000 in cash stashed in his freezer. Does it sound to you like William Jefferson is innocent? No way. He's not. He's guilty. He's beyond guilty. And in 2009, he was sentenced to 13 years in federal prison, the longest sentence that was ever given to a congressman for bribery. William Jefferson was set free on December 1st of 2017 after serving 8 years of his sentence. As we continue to focus on witnesses to Christ on his way to the cross tonight, we meet Barabbas. There's a trial going on, and in any trial, there are going to be three key ideas and words: innocent, guilty, and free. Innocent, guilty, and free. So here we go. Innocent, the first of those words. That's Jesus. Pilate tells the crowd, "I find no guilt in him." Pontius Pilate did not think that Jesus deserved the cross. He might have received a lecture or maybe a lashing. Maybe Pilate thought that was appropriate, but not the cross. Two times in John 18, the gospel writer calls Pontius Pilate the governor. As Judea's governor, Pilate sat on the judgment seat. And that's because Pilate has imperium, which means that he has supreme power. He has absolute dominion over the area which he controls. In Judea, Pilate decides formal death penalty cases. You live or you die according to Pilate. And Pilate declares that Jesus is innocent. And he does so another time in John chapter 19. But the rest of the New Testament takes this even further than that, a whole lot further than just Pontius Pilate's declaration of Jesus' innocence. The New Testament says that Jesus is absolutely and perfectly innocent. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that Jesus was without sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says of Jesus, he knew no sin. When it comes to sin, Jesus never did it. Innocence, that's Jesus. Guilty, on the other hand, that's Barabbas. Barabbas was as guilty as anyone that you've ever seen convicted, and then some. Pontius Pilate poses the question to the people, "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." John 18 concludes with these words, "Now Barabbas was a robber." That's kind of an understatement, because that word there that's used for robber here is a very specific word. And the word means that he was a marauding, violent outlaw who finances his lawlessness through what he plunders and steals. That's not just a simple robber. It's actually the same word that's used in the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, where Jesus says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. If you put John 18, verse 40, and Luke 10, verse 30 together, what we learn is something very interesting. We learn that this kind of robber is the worst kind of outlaw. It's this a robber who's not just going to rob you and take what is yours, he's going to rob you and kill you. Mark 15 tells us even more. Among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. Not just a robber, but a murderer as well. Barabbas was probably the leader among the insurrectionists. And these insurrectionists were anti-Roman rioters who belonged to a political group that was called the Zealots. And the Zealots had one agenda. This was what they wanted to do, to get the Romans out of Judea. And Zealots were ready to do whatever it took to make that happen. So don't think that Barabbas was some petty thief or a simple scoundrel. Rome would not have condemned a small-time crook to crucifixion, but they would for this type of robber. Barabbas was judged guilty, and he was condemned to die. He was going to be crucified by noon, and he would be dead by sundown. His only future was a cross, three nails, and an awful death. That's what he was looking at on the morning of Good Friday. So, innocent, that's Jesus. Guilty, that's Barabbas for sure. But guilty also, it's us for sure too. We are all born dead in the sins and trespasses. We're blinded by the gods of this world and hopeless. Our finest deeds are, as Isaiah says, like filthy rags. It'd be very easy to call each and every one of us Barabbas. Paul says as much in Romans chapter 7. He says, "Wretched man that I am." Note that Paul doesn't say, "I was a wretched man." He says, "I am a wretch." Present tense, right now, as a believer, truth be told, I'm still a wretch. Remember that word that we focused on a little bit on Sunday as we talked about amazing grace. The wretch is that we are. The Bible calls it sin. And sin isn't a regrettable lapse or an occasional stumble. Sin stages a rebellion against God's rule. Sin storms the heavens. Sin lays claim to God's throne. Sin defies God's authority. Sin sneers and says, "Get out, God. Get lost, God. I'm in charge here, God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You have your way. I have my way. Your way may be greed. Her way may be excess. His way might be wandering. We have all turned our own way, just like sheep. I certainly don't like to confess it. In fact, I'd just as soon avoid it, but I am Barabbas, guilty. I am a prisoner of my own past, my regrettable choices, my excessive pride. And God has declared me guilty. And what's his sentence? The wages of sin is death. Death. So innocent, that's Jesus. Guilty, that's Barabbas. Guilty, that's all of us. But our final word, free, that's Barabbas too. You say, what? How could that be? The Roman guard with the key goes in, and imagine this, he unlocks that prison door. He swings it wide open and he shouts, Barabbas, you're free. They chose you to go free. And then think about this. Barabbas stumbles out into the light of day. His shackles are gone. Crimes are pardoned. He is free. Free. That's Barabbas for sure. And free. That's us for sure too. But how can this be? Christ endured not just the Roman nails, the mockery, the spear, but also God's justice. It's true, God doesn't overlook sin. God doesn't say, hey, no big deal. That's not how it works. God is holy. He's righteous. He's sovereign. He's perfect. God can't overlook sin. He must punish it. That's why God placed all of our sin on Jesus. So it's accurate then to say Christ substituted himself for the world. That's accurate. But if we were to say it a little bit differently, it becomes life-changing. Christ substituted himself for me. And each of you can say exactly the same thing. Christ substituted himself for you. My sins, they're many. And they'll continue to be many. But God's mercy, it's more than that. It's more than any of them. And so I am free. And you are free. Psalm 146 says this, the Lord sets the prisoner free. Romans 8 says, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Galatians 5 says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Revelation 1 says, Jesus has freed us from our sins by his blood. There are a million ways that we can become a prisoner, but there's only one way to be free. Jesus. The Savior's liberating power sets us free from the condemnation of our sins, free from the pain of our past, and free from any worry that we might have about our future. No one can take this freedom from us. No law can stop it, and no power on earth or in hell can destroy it. Innocent, guilty, and free. Those are the three most important words at any trial. But what would you say is the most life-changing of the three of them? Innocent, guilty, free. I think for me that's an easy answer. It's free. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And that's us. We, like Barabbas, are free. And by our faith, we are free forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our